The masquerade is upon our heroes. It is time for them to sneak into this party and learn more about some of the factions that they do not have sway over. But they will need to move carefully, since with every reward, there is a risk.
All right, the week has passed. It is the evening of the masquerade. What are you all wearing to the masquerade?
What are you wearing, Jake from State Farm?
Cormac, what do you look like?
Yeah, so I think that, like, as part of the entertainment, we have, like, a somewhat similar, I don't know, like, not like a uniform, but, like, kind of, like, color scheme. But his mask is like sort of like a deep teal blue that's got like wave patterns around it. So it's like got like curls of waves around the eyes. And also it's very small. Like it is not like a full blown like cover your whole face mask. It is like, I'm sure there's a word for it, but it's like cover your eyes.
It's the, typical masquerade mask that you think of.
Is it called a Venetian mask? If I say it's a Venetian mask, can people back me up on this?
I think Venetian is a art style on the mask, but I'm not positive.
But yes, I think the Venetian masks are typically that smaller shape.
The problem is I'm seeing, like, there's two types of Venetian masks it looks like. There's, like, the small ones that Caitlin is describing, and then there's, like, the large, poofy, feathery ones that Cormac's describing.
You're wearing the Zorro, not the Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah. I was thinking Zorro was what it looked like.
Yeah, it's like, you got a Zorro mask, or you look like the Jester. The Jester full face mask with, like, a crown.
Yeah, Cormac goes Zorro, but pretty.
Perfectly handsome, you might say.
Perfectly handsome.
Does he go around using his sword to cut a C into tapestries and stuff?
No one can forget him now.
What's the design on your mask? Do you have a design or?
Yeah, it's like ocean waves. So like, ooh. Like I think like if you've seen art where there's like layers of waves kind of on top of each other.
Yeah.
So it's like got that. And then like the waves like curling around, like sort of like wrapping around the eyes a little bit. And then maybe like shot through with a little bit of like yellow gold.
Very cool.
Nostroy, what do you look like?
So I was going to send a picture to the chat, but I just won't bother. So I was looking up like traditional Russian masks, and these like don't exactly look like kabuki masks, but they're almost kind of in that vein. So it's like a hand-carved wooden mask. The features are all really exaggerated, and there's like a big plume of hair around it, you know, with like this wooden face that's like very elongated and stretched with like holes for the eyes and like very exaggerated sharp teeth. I think I described this mask previously as being red, but I think that he'll match the teal from Cormac. So it's like teal and then like accents of gold that are like melting down around it. And then his dress, I think, I say like dress, like what the clothes that he's wearing, he's not literally wearing a dress, I think would almost be very minimal, like kind of like ballet style, where it's like that is meant to almost disappear. So it'd be like just neutral black, long sleeves.
Like a stagehand type.
Long pants, plain shoes. Yeah. Like you're just supposed to see the mask.
Lena
is the most uncomfortable that she has been in probably about 4 years. I think that sometime in this week, she probably went to her parents' house, had an official reunion with them, which maybe we should have done, but I don't think that scene would have gone anywhere necessarily. But I think that because this is a big deal for her family, they would have set it up to put her out there and really represent the family well.
I'm going to say, I don't think you met with your parents specifically. You went to their place, but you fortuitous timing, they were busy, but they had people there ready to fit you for a dress.
Yeah, it was definitely following like my mother's instructions.
Right. So more of the point, you haven't talked with them yet, so this will be your first time seeing them.
Okay. So she is wearing, she's wearing a black dress with like, it's a drop waist doublet over the corset. So everything's very tight and stiff. She's also got the hoop skirt underneath her skirt. So she's not walking very much. I would say it's a black dress with gold trim. Got the big poofy sleeves. And I'm so excited about this because I looked up all this fashion stuff. In a kind of newer fashion for the time in the place they are, she's got her hair down and styled into waves, which is not normal for her. And she has a mask that, because she is the person of honor at this, is not meant to really cover her face. It's like a lace fox mask. That's also mostly black with like gold beading in it, because people are supposed to recognize that it is her.
Very cool.
Sigrithr.
So Sigrithr's mask is, so you remember in Thor Ragnarok, the helmet that Thor wears in the arena that has like the wings that come off the top.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So it has kind of wings like that, and her mask is borderline a helmet. Mm. Like, it's not really a helmet, but it's like, it's a fairly large mask because got to cover the massive brand on her face. and so it's got the wings that kind of go back off the sides, like the sides top area, and then the mouth forms into like a beak.
Ooh. So it's kind of like a hawk sort of vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
To match the theme of the brand. So showing off the brand without showing off the brand.
Yeah, yeah.
Stencils the brand over the mask.
Is the brand a hawk? Is that what it was?
Falcon.
Falcon.
It's okay. A falcon. Okay.
Sorry, I miss. Yeah. So it's got the falcon vibe.
Yeah. And then I couldn't remember which bird it was either. and then as for dress, she is matching Lena's like color scheme, but like, so mostly black, but although she won't do the gold trim because she doesn't want to like, she doesn't want to be like outshining the guest of honor of the thing,
right? Not wearing white at Lena's wedding.
Exactly.
Could you like silver?
Yeah, I like that actually. Yeah, so black like silvery trim stuff, and it looks very functional. It definitely, like, from a distance, it looks like a fancy dress, but if you look close, it's like, no, you could actually fight in this.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going as Lena's bodyguard, right?
Yes.
So you'd probably only be allowed like a small sword on your person.
Yeah, I mean, whatever they let me have, I kind of assumed I wouldn't have anything, but
I think because you are a bodyguard and there are guards around, you are allowed. Like, you know, you probably have a dagger hidden on your person, and you're given, like, a rapier-esque sword.
A dueling sword?
Yeah, of sorts. Something that you could use to protect people, but, like, also not really do
it. It's a little more ornamental than forceful.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, if somebody, like, besmirches her honor, you can duel them.
Right.
But like,
man, it'd be really unfortunate if they were to give this dueling sword to someone, a member of the Duelist Guild, but I won't tell them that.
I think the thing is, like, it's symbolic and people expect everyone to behave, but it's also not in a way that... It's in a time and place where it's like, yeah, carrying a sword out in the open is very different than open carry laws in the United States, you know?
Yeah.
It's a symbol of status at a certain point, so they're not going to completely take away every weapon you have.
Well, and like, literally, dueling was still okay, yeah? So, like, if
right.
like actually might come up.
Right. Catalina is wearing something that looks curated to be conservative and unattention-grabbing. To the point where it's like, you know this was planned.
To like, the point that Lena is jealous.
I mean, Lena's jealous of everyone else at the party at a certain point, I think, with
fair.
Being unnoticed. But it is background dancer kind of look at a in a movie.
Left Shark.
No, Left Shark stands out. Look, but she's wearing black. She has a sash of color of orange, which is the city color. But it looks very conservative. Nothing stands out. It looks very in the middle of modern fashion. Not too new to draw attention. Not too old to be out of date. Very much looking like she is meant. Not or that she belongs, but not sticks out in any way. She is also wearing the bracelet, so she does not look like herself. She looks much more ordinary Or, you know, like, as much as anyone looks ordinary. She has a different face than normal. She still looks Castilian, though, to not stand out. The one thing that she does have that stands out a little bit is her mask is also a bird mask, which seems to be a theme for our group. It's in the shape of an albatross, and it's orange as well, which is the color of the city again. So, Nostra and Cormac, what are you up to?
Is this like, how does our performance go, or is this like...
what we do before or after?
So this is you guys setting up, and I would say how your performance goes, and then we'll... while that's going on, other scenes will happen, but I want to know how your performance goes in general to influence events, sort of.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So if there's anything you guys want to say to each other, talk about, or do any of you guys want to talk to each other before you go in?
I don't necessarily think so. Oh, there was one addition I wanted to make, though. Theater masks have megaphones built into them. Like, old school theater masks, like, part, like, Greek... especially theater masks would be like megaphone masks, and I think that's also a thing for Neostroy's mask, so he's very loud. A thing I frequently need help with, I'm sure.
Oh, I think I had asked my spy kids to get hired at this masquerade. Did that happen? Are they working at all?
Make me a roll.
I gotta find D10s. What would that roll be?
It's not like a luck skill on this, which makes me sad. This feels like a game where you should have luck as a stat. Roll me a convince with
wits?
Panache.
Panache. Yeah.
You're rolling for them, but Panache seems like the most luck-based
okay.
out of the five of them.
I have three successes.
You see a middling amount of them.
Okay.
Not as many as you were hoping, but not a minuscule amount. Okay. You know? So there's probably like...
four?
Yeah, I was thinking like five or six... So
okay, sure.
Well, as I'll describe the party as you guys okay. walk in, and then you can set up. So you come upon this estate, which is very modest as far as you would think when you think of Lena as rich and someone who is part of the aristocracy. It is a normal-sized house by modern standards, which was big in, you know, that kind of time period, you know, when people had to triple and double up and, like, your whole family would be in one house. They just the... what would have been six of them live in one space.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty spacious. However, as far as nobility that you've been to, since you guys have been bodyguards, you've seen upper nobility and all that, this is quite small and reserved. Have any of you been to Lena's house before?
We had a sleepover once, but, you know.
I didn't know if there was, like, you guys met there at a time or, like, when...
like... I feel like she would not have brought us there.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So you guys have never been here. It is smaller than you expected, but the outside looks very modest. You see a long line of people outside as you guys have to get in. There is, once inside, it is very cramped. There is a large largish yard in the back, like space, garden space, where that's where the performers are going to be.
Inside, so it's an outdoor party?
It's both.
Okay.
You quickly ascertain that there is not enough room inside for all the people they invited and all the people who have shown up.
Mm-hmm.
The inside looks like they're putting on airs. Things are nice, but they are not rich.
Mm-hmm.
But everything kind of looks like it has a fresh coat of paint. There looks to be new furniture, Lena, from your estimation. A lot of stuff looks new in a way that doesn't have any use. Not that it's... they upgraded a little bit. Things appear that they were upgraded for this party as a way to impress other people and try to move up in social standing. The catering, for those that are paying attention, is very fine and very decadent, especially remembering that you guys are under siege.
Mm.
And that food is more scarce. So, like, having multiple roast pigs is kind of a big deal. Having all fresh bread is kind of a big deal.
So they clearly splurged on the food part.
They splurged on kind of everything in a way that you're like, it doesn't match with the exterior of where they're living as how much they're spending.
Okay.
You know, it's like if you went into a middle-class home and they said, yeah, we spend $40,000 on food a month. And you're like, that does not match what you look like. Things do appear to be very nice, very spacious. However, it does feel... weird to be in a space that looks so unlived in. So Nostroy and Cormac, what does your act look like?
So I think the way Nostroy would want to set it up And if you want to nix this, some of the sack, feel free. I think he, like, brings fire barrels to, like, line the performance area. So he can do, like, fire stuff, but it's like, oh, it's in the barrels. It's just the barrels can, you know, have fire in them.
Do they actually have fire barrels in them, or are they just empty barrels?
They're just empty barrels, but it's like, oh yeah, this is, like, where, like, the torches go and stuff to do stuff during the performance. It's like he, like, tries to make an excuse, you know? But I think he would want it to be very much, like, on ground level. So it's, like, in people's faces, the way this works. And he, like, paces this little arena that they have set up to, like, narrate the fights that go on. Do you want me to go into what the act might look like and, like, anything from Cormac?
I'll let Cormac say what his act looks like first.
Okay.
Like our main thing, or if we do stuff before that?
Either. Both. Whatever you want. This is your license to be creative. Wow me.
No pressure. So I think they have, like, some little things, kind of like warm-up act type things beforehand. So,
oh yeah, like before the barrels are lit. Yeah.
Right. It's like the opening act and then like the real thing.
Yeah.
So there's like some knife, like knife tricks.
Knife jugglers would be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think there's like two people are doing knife throwing and then they pretend to get into a fight and then it's like knife juggling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's like stuff like that. I think there's maybe like a little bit of fire stuff. Like somebody else is like juggling torches or something. And Nostra like makes it a little more special, but he's like not the one doing it, you know?
Yeah.
So he's like got like one step removed from those sorts of things. And so they have a couple acts like that and then get into like the main thing, which is like the legend of Cormac O'Rourke. And that's like this whole long saga. And I think it's Nostroy narrating. I don't know enough about silent movies, but I think it's like Nostroy like narrating and then like Cormac like going through and like fighting these people, like swinging through, and he's not really talking. It's like Nostroy narrating the thing.
I like the idea that it's like once it gets dark, there's like a brief lull and then like the barrels, you know, light up in flame and the what are they called? The little hand castanets.
Mm-hmm.
The castanet dancer and guitar player start playing, and then Nostroy comes out and is like, "Welcome to Grigorovich's newest attraction, the circus soon to be opening up," and like list the district. "Our main performance is the thrilling saga of Cormac O'Rourke, the lost knight, and the protector of the..." What's the right word?
Glamour Isles.
"The protector of the Glamour Isles and their true and dethroned princess as they travel the seas and save the Glamour Isles from pirates and slavers." And then it's like, you know, he like launches into stories of Cormac O'Rourke fighting people as he like paces the arena. But I think I want it to be one of those things too where like as they're fighting, it like you're like bumping into the crowd almost. You know what I mean? It's like, it's really, really, really on the ground, close to people, as it's a very in-your-face performance, and it's just like Nostroy's booming voice narrating it to people that can't see it.
So you're imagining being in people's faces, or Cormac being in people's faces, or both?
Well, like, if you're, like, pretending to fight, like, 10 pirates at once, and they shove you, you would get shoved into crowd. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Like,
okay.
They're standing right there. It's supposed to feel a little dangerous, like a little on the edge.
Okay, yeah.
I think there is a part where you get shoved into the crowd, and then everyone's like, "Where'd he go?" And you pop up, like, on the other side.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Yeah. I was thinking he, like gets shoved back and, like, falls into a gaggle of ladies, and then winks at one of them and, like, goes back in, like, that sort of thing. But I like the idea of it being, like, really intimate. So, like, Nostroy is there, and he'll, like, talk to, like, one person.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say, and I think that, like, the pirates might grab, like, dueling swords from people, you know? Like, if one of them gets a sword knocked out of their hand, they would grab something from the audience, you know? They're, like, grabbing bottles of wine as they drink, you know?
Mm-hmm. This is very fun. We should run a circus.
This is how my game becomes running a circus instead of...
Right.
Cormac, make me a...
performance?
No, you're making me a high check. You're going by the name Cormac O'Rourke in a place where Cormac O'Rourke is wanted, and you are playing Cormac O'Rourke as himself?
It's a different Cormac O'Rourke, just a similar name.
There's so many O'Rourkes. You can't keep track.
Yeah, there's Seamus. Nostroy, make me a performance check.
Oh, gosh, Zach, you're making me roll the dice.
Cormac, you can use... Cormac and Nostroy, I think you both use panache.
So hide in panache?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're using your boisterous charm to be like, well, I'm not actually Cormac O'Rourke. It's not him, you know. He's too good looking to be me.
First roll gets one reroll, yes?
No, it gets one extra die.
Oh, no, I get a reroll because of, yeah, that. Okay.
Ugh.
So that's one, two. Oh, really?
I have two successes and an eight left over.
Oof. I have three successes and a three left over.
Three successes and three left over, okay. I will buy both of your things so you have more hero points.
Oh. Oh, no, I actually don't gain a bonus die for... I have a thing that would let me gain a bonus die if I was doing fire magic, but I'm specifically not. Dang it.
So, funnily enough, I was reading through just the book again in the setting. Castile doesn't like the Glamour Isles. They think she's, like, a heathen because they practice glamour magic and aren't part of the church anymore.
Oh.
So Nostroy telling a story about, like, the false queen and trying to, like, usurp her goes over really well with this crowd.
Oh, yeah, it would. Yeah, okay, I like that.
Okay, yeah.
So, like, specifically, Cody accidentally went into something that they eat up and love.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, he does it well enough that you see a few people give, like, knowing looks, but, like, the people you, like, that give knowing looks... You recognize as people who are in the Duke's Rebellion, mm-hmm. more so.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the rest of the group's like, this is seditious. This is treason. Like, people aren't doing that. They're like, this is a great story.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who know, know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's like Star Wars is about fascism. What?
Yeah, this is meant to just plant the idea of, like, a false noble becomes what everyone's talking about. The story of Cormac O'Rourke.
Yeah.
And the,
right.
the dethroned princess. And those treacherous Glamour Isles and their fake nobility.
Yeah.
Right. And I think as the weeks wear on, people will be like, hold up, wait a second. You know, they'll think about it more, but for right now, they're like, this is a great story. We love it.
All the think pieces will be talking, all the YouTube vloggers.
It won't be bad Cinderella. Cormac, you're fine. You don't notice anyone noticing you.
Cool. Sounds great.
What have they heard of him?
But no, you also have a good performance. You guys do very well and are into the party. So you guys finish your performance, and then part of your, not your guys' specific performance, but like the troupe you bring will be doing music for a long time. You guys will now have downtime after this. However, we're going to cut to other people.
No, it's not okay. It's just me playing this game.
I mean, if I let you do that, you're going to run the game for me, so... Lena and Sigurthur, what does it look like for you guys? What are you up to? I would say, like, when you arrive before you meet your parents, but that'll be pretty soon, Lena. They're not gonna, like, have you be gone forever.
Based on what I think would be happening at this time, Lena is probably, like, in a room with Sigurthur prior to, like, an announcement.
Like, presenting you.
Yeah, that would make the most sense to me, that it's, you know, I don't see at this, in this time period, her, like, greeting guests. Like, I don't think that's how that would be going down.
Do you want to say anything to her, Sigurthur, before stuff goes down?
Yeah, sure. I just realized that this is probably a good idea to do before we go in there. So I was just thinking that we might not want to use my real name because a Vestan bodyguard in proximity to you, my name might be a bad idea.
Oh, yes. I assume that you had come up with something, and I have had lots of other things on my mind this last week. What are you going to go by for this?
I'll use the name Freya. It still marks me as Vestan, but it's kind of hard to hide that with my height and with the hair color. Yeah, so let's just go with Freya. I think that'll be an easy one to remember for both of us.
Perfect. I can do that. And Lena's, like, constantly, like, fidgeting with her dress and definitely, like, pulling the collar away as much as she can But I think, like, overall, it's a very stiff fabric and setup, so it's, like, can't move, and it's just uncomfortable.
And it's hot here. It's not... Yeah.
It's the Mediterranean. It's very hot. From what I've heard, you know, I've never been. So, you guys have a few minutes. Time passes quickly enough for Sigrithur, and like an eternity for Lena. When her mother walks in, your mother walks in looking very regal, very fancy, again looking above what you would have worn to parties in your youth. She has a very similar dress to yours, but looking more matriarch or maternal.
Matronly.
Matronly, there we go. Than yours. You know, she is not looking for suitors in any way.
She probably has, like, a head covering, 'cause that was still pretty common for, especially people who, like, still followed the church, at least, you know, in our world.
Yeah.
But, so she probably has that as kind of, like, a distinguishing difference.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. On it, there are, like, there's, like, in the lace pattern, there is the crest of the city, which is, like, the grain of wheat, to show her support for fake Alina.
I would say that I didn't mention this because I didn't realize it, but I think Magdalena probably has, like, a ridiculously big, like, brooch right at the, like, chest portion of her dress, and it also has the crest.
Mm-hmm.
And when her mother walks in, she immediately drops into a curtsy, as she was trained to do from a very young age.
It is good that you have remembered some of your manners and training. We are very glad you're back, Lena. That's what I want to say first and foremost. But I am glad to see that years on the run have not changed you, that you still are a proper lady.
I still remember my upbringing, and I will do my best to make you proud.
That is great to hear. I am glad we are looking, hopefully, like, this is for you. We are so glad you are back.
And she, like, gently touches your cheek.
And this is our way to reintroduce you into society and maybe find you a suitor.
Lena winces pretty hard, or, like, flinches pretty hard when she hears about the suitor thing. I did not realize that was going to be a part of this as well.
I don't see why it shouldn't be. You are back. We need heirs to our family name. And this is a chance for you to marry up. We can move our title and be more than just baronesses. We can move our family closer to the nobility.
Yes, I guess I had not quite considered what would happen after this, considering I kind of thought I would possibly go back to what I might, back to being a part of the guard.
Lena, there is no shame in backing down after you have failed. We all know Miguel has told us what has happened, how you failed that night to save the Duke, and that is okay. We know that you are not as good of a swordsman as him, but it is okay. It is not, you are not a failure to this family, even if you failed at the guard.
Lena is at this point biting her tongue, literally. And she dips her head. I understand. I will keep that in mind.
I am glad to hear it. Now let's get out there and introduce our daughter. We are so glad to have you back.
Thank you, Mama.
So she heads out and you follow her, and you are very quickly introduced to the party, too much cheering, our daughter is back, that kind of thing. And it is insufferable for you every step of the way.
Oh, yeah. Just from, like, she does not wear these kind of clothes. Just from that perspective, she's definitely doing that, like, shuffle of, like, trying to stay, like, rigidly upright and not fall over. So it's very uncomfortable, and then people are, she's not looking forward to talking to people.
To Lena's surprise, Lena knows she's doing a lot of etiquette mistakes, a lot of not doing the right stepping, not having the right posture. Your mother corrects you, but is not unkind about it, which is different than you would have expected based on how she was when you were growing up. She was very strict growing up. Tonight, she seems more just relieved that you're back in some ways, even if she is paying no attention to your feelings.
Yeah, I think the first time she, like, makes a correction kindly, Lena, like, the second the person she is in front of looks away, she, like, gives her mom, like, you know, the eyebrow of, like, what the frick?
Yeah, like, she gives her mom that, and her mom just, like, gives you a nice smile back and, like, pats, like, your back, you know, like, in a very loving way. You get the impression from her, and when you see your father later, that they did grieve you being gone. They thought you were dead, and they're not saying that, and they are still restrained in a way that nobility has to be, but you coming back is their daughter coming back to life to them. It is a miracle beyond miracles. So right now, you have a little bit more leeway than you would, because they're just glad you're back, even if you're not having the exact right posture. You spend the first part of the evening being shuffled around to a lot of disgusting nobles, most of whom are uncomfortably older than you.
Real quick, I want to say, throughout all this, Sigurður is following fairly closely, but not so close as to be, like, standing over Lena or anything, but she's trying to be, like, trying to be that, like, little bit of a shadow. Kind of like you would tail someone if you're following them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's not, like, trying to hide the fact that she's there, but not trying to draw attention to herself.
Yeah, and you notice some other high-ranking people having the same protections, and you're in the Duelist Guild, so you kind of know what it is to be a retainer. You know, maybe not exactly the Castilian etiquette for right here, right now, but you know enough of the etiquette to not do a faux pas or anything like that.
Are there any other people from the Duelist Guild that Sigurður would recognize? Or, like, have a relationship with? Sorry to throw you under the bus like that.
Yeah, you meanie.
I know.
Sigurður, make me a notice check if you want to know this information.
With which trait?
I would say wits, because you're looking through masks.
Okay. That's kind of what I assumed it would be. It's like, I remember with my muscle. Let me use brawn. No. Oh, I actually rolled really well. That is 3 raises.
All right. In answer to Caitlin's question, the answer is no, there's none of Sigurður's old friends here from the Duelist Guild. From what you understand about your last meeting there was a lot of turnover in leadership and everyone in the Duelist Guild. It kind of is the under new management of Castile, of Oratrios. But you do notice Seraphine here. She does not seem to be on retainer, but you do notice multiple retainers having the Duelist Guild crest on them.
And Seraphine was the guild leader?
Yes.
Okay.
Cormac, what are you doing to mingle? What does your mingling look like in this crowd?
So, like, after they finish up their act, I think he goes and gets some food, gets something to drink, starts, if he recognizes people that he was close to, like, in the act, I think he would try to talk with them or invite them to dance. And just try to get a sense of who is here. Like, who is Lana's family close to?
Okay. So you're just doing, joining circles, pretending you know people, or if you know someone in a group, walking up and being like, oh, hey.
Yeah, I think so. And I think he's leaning on, like, the performance going well previously to do that.
So as you're going around doing this, you hear you're taking a break, stepping back, when a figure steps up somewhat behind you and goes, I think I may have heard of you.
I turn around and see who it is.
You see fellow Knight of Avalon Hamza, who you met on your travels
as
a pirate. How are you, my friend?
Hamza, I What are you doing here?
Well, you're not the only one invested in the outcome of your operations here.
I don't know what you mean.
You know exactly what I mean. I funded you. I helped get you back in here. You know exactly what I mean, my friend.
I don't remember how much we told Hamza.
Most of the people you guys met that were not bad guys in your 3 years abroad,
yeah,
helped you get back into the city in some fashion.
Okay.
So he is not like...
I didn't remember if he would have known, like, you have lost Duchess with you, you know?
Yeah, I think he knows, like...
Okay.
And I think he, out of everyone... Yeah, he knows some of it, and I think with who Cormac is and meeting a fellow knight of Avalon, he would have been a little bit more forthcoming than he would be with other groups.
Right, like he has an innate trust for like a fellow knight of the Geisa. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I think he knows a good amount of, even if he wasn't helping, which he did help you guys get back into the city in some fashion. What that exactly looked like, we don't know, but he helped you guys get back into the city in some way. He also knows some from what you would have told him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how long have you been in Oretrios?
Not too long. I have only been here for a couple of weeks, and I didn't want to go seeking you out because it looks like the city guard has also heard of you.
They have.
And they've really heard of Nostri. 500,000.
Yes, there's a significant bounty on his head, so, you know, don't go proclaiming you know him, I guess.
I mean, that's why I've been cautious in finding you all.
You've always been a wise man, Hamza.
Well, I do appreciate that, but I am not wise enough to figure out what Knight of Avalon you are yet.
I think I told him something.
No, you were cagey.
Oh, I just never told him.
In your description, he, when you had him talking, you're like, he was really cagey about what knight he was.
Oh, yeah. What's a man without a little mystery, right?
I think you have a lot of mystery in your life, you know, with our mutual friend.
Right. That's true. Is that what brings you back to Oretrios? Or something else?
As I said before, she has my spear.
It is good to see you again, Hamza. And I am certain we will have need of your spear. And that time is also not yet. But if you leave me with where I can find you, should that, or when that day comes, I think our mutual friend will be very grateful.
He pulls out a card and gives it to you. I look forward to hearing from you again, my friend.
As do I.
We should get drinks sometime.
But not those magical ones from the Sorcerer of Porte. Do they have those here, by the way? I don't want to get teleported across the city.
I have not partaken of the drink yet, so I am unsure if they have teleportation drinks here, but they sound like a lot of fun.
Oh, they're a lot of fun if you're not the one drinking them.
Ah, so I just have to get you drunk enough and then give you one.
Ah.
It'll be a contest. Whoever gets drunk first won't know they're gone.
So you guys chat and catch up a little bit, but he leaves you be. Nostra, what are you doing? Let's do that. That's a good... What does your mingling look like?
So let me ask you this. Has fake Catalina showed up?
Make me a nose check.
No. Hang on.
It's not a hard notice check, but it is a notice check.
I'm not good at these.
You get plus one die first time making a notice check.
Yeah, it's still not very good, unfortunately. Well, is there a better way to math these? Oh, that is... No, that does not matter. Never mind. Sorry. I know how to do math. No. Sorry. Two successes.
You see fake Catalina there, yes.
Oh, and Nostra then is just walking straight up to her immediately, for sure. And when he reaches her, he does, like, a very ornate and proper bow, like hand outstretched, like, curtsying and dipping so low, and just goes, I was not aware that I would have been graced with such a graceful presence as yours, eh? Ah, had I known, the show would have been far more spectacular!
Oh, it was a pleasure to see your show regardless. Mr. or Senor?
My name is Gregory. Gregorovich? I think I went with Gregory. Did I go with Gregory or Gregorovich?
You went with Gregorovich.
Gregorovich! I run this circus in town. You see, I feel it is my responsibility to bring joy to those that are struggling in hard times. So this is what I do. I come to places where times are hard and I try to bring smiles and hope to all of you. And that is what I hope happens down at my circus.
Well, I look forward to seeing more of your circus.
I am sure you do. Now, I do not mean to be presumptuous, but if the, Countess?
Duchess.
The Count. Duchess, if the Duchess is looking for her own prince to protect her, maybe take her on some adventures, you should definitely meet Cormac O'Rourke. You might have heard of him. He truly is a spectacular performer and even a more spectacular swordsman. You must at some point meet with him. He is glorious. But what I want to know is, what can I do for you? How can I help you inspire this city? I am at your disposal.
Well, that is good to hear, Mr. Signor Grigorovich. I think the first thing that I'm curious of is the Cormac O'Rourke that I may have heard of. Is he the same one that's on posters all over the town?
No, so, okay, look, I will... Do you want to know an embarrassing thing about me? Frequently I get his name wrong! I forget so much because... Now, look, I am not from here... Neither is Cormac, but all their names, they sound so similar to my ears. And so I just frequently call him by the wrong name, but Cormac O'Rourke happens to be a very popular name, unlike mine, which is a little bit more of an oddity, but at least in these parts, you know. But...
I think it is a charming name.
I thank you for that. I also am quite fond of it. But no, the stories you've heard... Now, I lie a little bit, just a little bit to make these stories better, but truly, Cormac was an actual knight who did travel for a time with a member of nobility. That is actually a fact. Just only from the Glimmering Isles.
Glamour Isles.
Glamour Isles. Sorry, I'm bad. Again, the words, they all sound so similar to me. But, you know, maybe it wasn't specifically a princess, but, you know, A lost princess makes for a good story, so I improvise.
That makes much more sense now that you say it, that the Cormac O'Rourke running around here is just trying to take advantage of an actual folk hero.
No, I mean, this Cormac O'Rourke did actually, like, that is the Cormac O'Rourke from the Glamour Isles.
Oh, so there's the other one who's just trying to steal his name then.
I think they might both have the same name. Like, I just think it might just be that they both have the same name. Let me tell you something else. I don't ask that many questions, all right? When you're trying to find circus performers in the city under siege, you work with who you get. I don't exactly take IDs, and I'm not super familiar with the history here.
No, I completely understand. You work with who you have, and sometimes...
I work with who I have.
I know this is going to sound like such a... nobility problem, but you know, I have to do the same thing. I have to do it more than you do, honestly. Like, I am stuck with certain people leading certain groups that don't always do what I want them to do. And
now I'm going to tell you, and look, I don't presume to give advice, all right? You know what's best. I understand that, of course,
but a good duchess listens to her.
All right, so, my good duchess, here is what I have found from my small experience running circuses. Frequently, I find performers, maybe they care more about themselves in the ensemble than they do about the ensemble. Maybe they draw too much attention to themselves. And frequently, what I have found when that happens is those people have to be let go. But here is the challenge. If I am seen as a cruel leader of a circus who will mercilessly get rid of anybody... no one will work for me anymore. And then Grigorovich's circus is a solo show, which is not much of a circus. So, in cases like that, I hire an emissary to maybe help me alleviate the problem a little bit, you know? That way I don't have to do it myself. I can remain in good standing in case later on down the line I need to use that person again. You know how it goes. So... now, here is the thing. I am quite an orator, and I am very comfortable talking to people. Do you maybe need someone to talk to somebody?
Well, I can't think of anyone at the moment, but I will definitely keep you in mind, Mr. or Signor Grigorovich.
You can just call me Grigorovich. It is okay.
you know, all of the pleasantries, that is for you. You people that carry swords and protect. I am just Grigorovich, the master of the circus.
And where is your circus set up?
I give her the location. I don't know exactly.
Yeah, no, that's
that
fine.
Place.
Don't you hate that when it's like you have to answer like a real question where I'm like, this isn't even being mean. It's just like a question someone would then ask you.
What goes through my head is Fleet Street, you know, but not actually. I'm not a demon barber.
Yet.
Yet.
Not with that attitude.
Right. That could be one of my other skills.
When you're not doing fire puppets, you're a demon barber.
Well, I will look forward to seeing some of your performances and maybe we can.
You must tell me when you would like a private one.
I will be sure to do that.
I think I will wow you.
And with this, she, like, dismisses you. And as you're, like, right at the circle of the guards, that, like, she has quite a few guards around you. She says, again, it was very nice meeting you, Nostroy. And then the guards, like, stand in front of you, and she walks off.
Oh, cool. I get to do murders now.
And that's where we're ending.
Hey Wanderers, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Corsairs of Castile. This game is being run in the 7th Sea 2nd Edition system. If you want to hear more content from the Wandering Gamer Network, you can check us out at the Wandering Gamer Network website. We stream on Twitch with the username wandering_gamers, and you can follow us on Twitter at @WGNPodcast. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. All information about the music used can be found in the episode description. Until next time, wherever you wander, may you find your way home.